Have you ever felt like you were in a fog? No matter how hard you tried, no matter how much you thought about something, you just couldn't get your mind wrapped around it. I mean, it didn't make total sense, and there just isn't a clear answer. Well, these are the times we're living in right now. There's new reports every day of different things and daily updates, and it's never really good news. And still, we're not sure. Nobody's really 100% sure how the problem is going to be solved. And so everybody wants to know, what is the answer going to be? And isn't there somebody that can just fix everything? This is how the disciples felt when Jesus died. The unthinkable happened, and as we study the book of Luke, the women go to the tomb in the morning. They're expecting to anoint the body of Jesus. After they looked around, they found an empty tomb, and they were trying to figure out where Jesus' body was. And the two angels appear, and they tell them Jesus isn't here. They say he's risen. Don't you remember? He told you he was going to die and rise again. Luke 24:8 says, then they remembered his words. The women went to the 11 and the other disciples, told them what happened. Nobody believed them. Now, according to Luke, Peter went back to the tomb, found it empty. Even he still didn't believe, but he was left wondering. See, they heard Jesus was alive, but where was he? So let me pause for a second. To get the most out of Luke's gospel, we have to understand that he's telling this story in a brief way. He's giving a brief telling of an event to make a theological point. For example, since we've been on this pause, I have taken time to watch again the movie Gettysburg. It's one of my favorites. And that battle was fought over 3 days. Hundreds of to thousands of troops fought in the Battle of Gettysburg. I mean, in fact, 45,515 people died or were wounded. And if you watch the movie, all of that is packed into 3 hours. The scenes are recreations. Incidents in the movie represent things that happened. Some of the incidents themselves didn't happen, but they represent things that did. So keep that in mind as you study Luke. What he writes about is true and represents what really happened. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Luke 24, and this is where we're going to be today. Luke 24, verses 13 through 18. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them. But they were kept from recognizing him, and he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. So after Peter goes to the tomb, Luke writes that that same day there was two on their way walking to the village of Emmaus. We don't know who they were. We don't know if it was two men. One might have been a woman. It might have been a couple. We just don't know. But like us today, they were talking about everything that had happened. They were trying to make sense of it all. And we don't know who these two were. One was named, and we know nothing about them. And we don't even really know exactly where Emmaus was. But as they walked along, a stranger came up and started walking with them. At least that's how these two see it. But it was really Jesus. Verse 16 says they were kept from recognizing him. As we will see, Jesus looked different when he came out of the grave. The language indicates that God was at work hiding his identity from them for the time being. Now, this isn't the first time people have dealt with divine visitors and thought they were just people. Jesus, this stranger, says, "So what are you discussing?" And the man, identified as Cleopas, said, "Don't you watch the news? Are you the only one in town that hasn't heard what just happened?" Jesus says, "What things?" You know, I feel like right now we're living in the twilight zone. Everybody's home. Sit-down restaurants aren't open. Sports isn't on TV. church buildings are closed, schools are closed. You can't just get anything you want at the grocery, and there's ads all over the place and all over the internet, about this virus. It's everywhere. And if somebody came and asked you, why are all these news stations talking about a virus? Why is everything closed? You might be tempted to say, are you crazy? Don't you watch the news? Probably not a good idea to watch too much of the news today, but we all have an idea what's going on here. So look back at our text here, Luke 24, and I want to look at verse 19 through 24. What things, he asked, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priest and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find the body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. To get the full impact of these words, remember these two were downhearted. They were without hope. But these two were people in the know, that they went with the 11. They weren't part of the 11, but they were close to the group. They were among the group that was meeting with them. They didn't believe the story the women told about the angels and the tomb. And again, like all the disciples, they didn't expect Jesus to rise again. So, like the disciples, it didn't matter if an angel said it. It didn't matter if a woman said it. Jesus rising to life was not an option. So what they say about Jesus is accurate. He was a prophet. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, what that meant. He was a powerful teacher who did mighty works and miracles. Verse 21 says, but we had hoped he was going to redeem Israel. They believed Jesus would be a national Messiah who would free Israel from Rome. And it says, we had hoped, but all their hope was gone from them. So when Jesus died, it shattered their hopes. They had plans for how Jesus was supposed to act, and their expectations were not met. If Jesus didn't do this, then they weren't going to have hope. You know, hope is in short supply today. I was in Walmart earlier this week, and when I noticed walking around, seeing all the people full of gloom, desperately searching the aisles, many people wearing masks, and I mean, if you want to wear a mask, that's your choice, but the fact is, it's not going to protect you from the coronavirus. But if it makes people feel better, it might spare you of another virus, but it's not going to help you with the coronavirus. But people are worried. People are panicked. I got everything I needed, but of course I did not get toilet paper. Apparently that's still in short supply right now. But it was a sad, gloomy trip. See, many people's hopes for their work, for their retirement, are crushed. So why doesn't God help? God is not doing what I expect. God is not doing what I want. So where is Jesus? Where's the hero? Why doesn't he step in? Why doesn't he save the day? Well, these men don't realize it, that they're talking to Jesus. So keep that in mind as we continue our study. So we go back to Luke 24 again. This time I want to look at verses 25 through 32. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things, enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Jesus, the stranger, begins to explain, and he says, how foolish you are, how slow to believe what the prophets have spoken. Jesus chides them for not believing the things that they already knew. So where does Jesus go to explain? He goes to the Old Testament. He uses the Old Testament to explain his death, burial, and resurrection. My friends, if anybody tells you that the Old Testament is not important and it's not necessary, they're contradicting Jesus. Here, Jesus teaches from the Old Testament. So these two were glued to what the stranger says. Their hearts were burning. They must have been thinking, who is this stranger? This is making sense. And they started approaching town, and it was almost evening, and the two insisted that the stranger stay with them. And when they were together over the meal, the stranger gave thanks, broke bread, started to give it to them. Verse 31 says, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. It was Jesus. God kept them from recognizing him, and now their eyes are opened. And when they saw Jesus, it changed everything. You know, our world right now is in stress and turmoil. And today I have words for Christians. I can't tell things to the world. I can't tell the world not to panic. I can't tell the world things. But Christians, I want to remind you of some things. First reminder is Jesus is already here and he's in control. Remember, these two men were all stressed and they were hopeless, but Jesus was with them. The hero was there, but they couldn't see him. Christians, I want to tell you to stop being foolish. Stop panicking. Stop hoarding unnecessary things. Do you really believe in Jesus? Do you really believe he's alive? Then start acting like you do. He's in our midst. Are we aware of that? We have to be careful that we don't act like the world. The second reminder, Jesus can be heard through the scriptures. When Jesus was talking to the men, where does he go to explain everything? The scriptures. Jesus goes to the Old Testament. He shows that he's in Moses, and he's in the writings of the prophets. And he talked about them. And this is very important. You cannot understand Jesus apart from the Bible. Let me say that one more time. You cannot understand Jesus apart from the Bible. The men said it this way. He opened the scriptures to us. When the early Christians learned that the Old Testament was about Jesus, then everything made sense. I want to encourage you when you're praying, pray to the Lord, say, Jesus, will you open my mind up so that I will be able to see you in the Bible? So that when I read the Bible, I will hear your words. And he will. The Bible makes sense when we realize that Jesus is speaking to us throughout the Bible. He's there revealing himself, revealing truth to us. If I gave you a book of letters and I told you to go home and read them, and you maybe you'd come back after a week, and maybe if you would have read them, you might say, well, I enjoyed them. But if I told you those letters were letters that Jesus wrote for you, then they would be a treasure and they would make sense. Well, our third reminder is that Jesus calls you to be hope to the world. Colossians 1:27, Jesus is called the hope of glory. We have the best news of all. The world is sad and despairing, but we have an answer. So what did these two do after they saw Jesus? Let's look back at our text, Luke 24:33 through 43. Then they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those assembled with them together and saying, it's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. And while he was still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. They were startled and they were frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Do you see the excitement in these two? They got up at once. They went back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and the rest of the disciples, and they started telling them in detail everything that happened. And while they were talking, Jesus appeared. They were afraid. They were startled. And they started to wonder, am I seeing something? Is this an illusion? Is this a figment of my imagination? You know, it's natural to doubt. But accepting Jesus means we have to have faith. The human mind is going to come up with many explanations for things. But Jesus says, "Why are you doubting?" He says, "Why are you troubled?" And now Jesus seals the deal. He says, "Look at me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Touch me. I'm not a ghost. A ghost doesn't have a physical body." Amazingly, still some did not believe. You see, believing involves faith. So Jesus asked them an unusual question, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it. See, they saw this with their own eyes. Jesus was showing them that he was real. Jesus wasn't just a spirit, he was physical. But not confined to the laws of this physical world, because he appeared and he disappeared. Not confined to space and time. Like a fourth dimension. The Bible doesn't explain the resurrection, but we know what happened. But the mystery of how Jesus was raised from the dead, that's not explained in the Bible. The two on the road to Emmaus, they actually talked to Jesus. They talked to the risen Lord, and Jesus disappears. And what do? They left at once to tell other people. They were filled with joy. They were filled with excitement. They start out gloomy and discouraged, and then they leave excited. And that's the way it works. A Christian stays hopeful. You can't keep them from finding ways to bring Jesus into conversations. We're not just talking about a spiritual experience. We're talking about a real Messiah, not a spirit, but one who was actually raised back to life and lives forever today. So do you really believe in Jesus? Do you believe he lives? Do you believe he arose? That's what Easter is. That's why we're celebrating today. Even though we can't be together, each of us can rejoice that Jesus rose. If you believe this, you have real hope, and you want other people to know. But right now, it's kind of hard because there's a fog. People are worried, and people are panicked, and people are afraid. And we have the hope for the world. We know the hero that makes everything right for his children, and he's in control. And we know that he speaks through his word, so we have hope. Do people see your hope? Do people see your assurance? So what have you been doing with your downtime, your time at home? Well, I've been trying to stay busy. It's been a little tough being at home all the time. But all this stress in the world reminds me of a 7-part book series that I've been rereading. See, I hadn't read this in 30 years, and with all this downtime, I decided I was going to go through the whole thing again. And I want to highly recommend it to you. It's called The Chronicles of Narnia. And it's been 30 years, but I want you to know it's just as enjoyable and even more enjoyable now than it was 30 years ago. But it starts with a group of children that go into a wardrobe, and they find themselves in another world called Narnia. It's a great story, but the author, C.S. Lewis, was a Christian. So throughout the story, there's this great lion that keeps appearing at the perfect time. He appears unexpectedly, and he gives help. And sometimes they see him off in a distance, and he appears in different forms at different times. And sometimes only one of the children can see him, but he's always there to help. He's always there to reassure. Sometimes he lets them go through tests, but he's still there. Sometimes he steps in to win battles, but throughout the story, as you see and read, you know that Aslan is near. His name is Aslan in the story. And he will appear, and you just don't know when. Sometimes he startles the children when he appears. See, it's just like these disciples, that they thought they were seeing a ghost, but the lion represented Jesus in the story. And Jesus is ever near his children. Sometimes it's a quiet voice that we hear, something in our mind, an idea that comes, or a scripture that we read, or a person that will talk to us in a conversation, and it will spark us to do something for the Lord. Or maybe it's a circumstance. At times, Jesus is fearful. At times, he's soft and tender. But what I can tell you during this fearful time, Jesus is near. You're not alone. But you have to listen for his voice. The world around us feels unstable, and it's easy to be panicked. It's easy to be afraid. But Jesus is already here. And when you discover that, you have hope. And you can't keep that hope to yourself. Now, next week we're going to discover that the story goes on. There's a whole new chapter that would be greatly surprising to the disciples. But let me just say to my church family here, I want to share a scripture with you that came to mind as I was doing this sermon. John 16:30, Jesus said this on the night before he would go to the cross. And these are words that he tells his disciples. I have told you many things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Did you catch that? This is before Jesus died, and he knew he was going to die, but he also knew he would be raised again. There would be victory. So Christians, we can have victory already. This virus is eventually going to be over, and we're all going to be back together again. So we need to live in victory right now. But Jesus wants us to be at peace. He overcame the trouble that he had on the cross. So take heart. We are a people who have the hope of the world. So are we going to live like we have hope, or are we going to be downhearted and discouraged? I just want to tell everybody that we're already making plans for when we get back together. So we don't know when that's going to be, but we're in the process of making plans for that. So don't lose hope. And I pray that you've been able to get together on this Easter day with your family and remember why we're celebrating. Before I close, let me have prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that we would be in tune with the fact that you are here among us. We may not see you, we may not hear you, we may not feel you, but we know that you are here. And just knowing that gives us hope. We don't have to be afraid. Lord, may we not have fear. May we have the quiet confidence that you're in control. May you be with those people that we know that are hurting, and people that are coming down with this virus, and people that are even dying. We pray for comfort and strength during this time. May you show us how we can be your hands and your feet and a help to someone. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.